Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
All right. The reason I was interested in the VBS and the time, I'm going to be gone this Wednesday evening, going to be speaking at Marietta. They have a summer series. I've ran it by the elders a couple of times. I think it might be a good idea, maybe something we might be interested in for next summer. June, July, and August, each Wednesday night, they have a different speaker. They pick out a theme, and I'm running by the elders. They said, yeah, go ahead. So, never know, might do that. Be interesting for us, and it's a good way to have, just keep things a little bit, keep the mix there. You know, you heard me say Lori's name. My suspicion James was the McDonald's bandit, but I asked him tonight point blank, and he said, I wouldn't send anybody there to eat. So, that's that. It still goes unannounced. I like that response. Attaboy James. All right, let's go to John 15, John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather him, and they cast him into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy will or may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. You know, the text of this, and when the Lord spoke these things to his disciples, if we can back up just a little bit and look at that, even as Jesus spoke these words, numerous things were happening. The events were unfolding of this evening that was happening around Jesus and his disciples. Already there was one that was collaborating, plotting against him, that was going to sell him for some change, really. Jesus would later be arrested that night. He would be convicted, and he would be murdered the next day. That was what's going to happen. That's what was going to take place. They were going to crucify Jesus. Understand that when these words that we just read were spoken, that those wheels were already in motion. Things were already happening, and all this is taking place. While all this is going on, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples, and he is really in that room. He's sharing the Passover feast with them. And I would say that this intimate moment, this intimate conversation that he has with them is not only, I think, designed just to offer consolation to them, but also preparation for them, because after this, his disciples' life will change forever. And so in the quietness of the night, and they are there, and all of these events are taking place, and these things are unfolding, Jesus says this to his disciples. And he uses this figure, this vine and the branch figure, as this is happening before he dies. You know, there are some that said, and I'd read things, some have said that perhaps there were grapevines all over Jerusalem. And some have said that maybe there was a vine growing up there where they could see that. Some said that maybe that window there, they could look out and see the grapes, the vines, or they maybe even see the fires burning as they burned the vines that were no good, that those that were being consumed. We really don't know what prompted Jesus to use the figure that he did. But I know that when the Lord lived on this earth, that he was constantly teaching, and he was constantly using things that we could relate to and that we could understand. The important thing is, though, that it was the point that Jesus was really trying to communicate. That's the main point. To understand that, I think we need to identify some elements of the figure that he's talking about in John 15 here that he discusses. So I want to begin with the vine and think about the vine. The vine would be what? It's the main stem that comes up out of the ground. It is the one that nourishes all of the branches. And it would be the source of all nourishment. Only the vine would provide that nourishment. Well, Jesus says, verse 1, I am the vine. Jesus is the symbol for that vine. Then springing from the vine, coming up out of the vine or from the vine, would be the smaller branches that would sprout off. And of course, he says that those smaller branches, what happens on those branches? Grapes actually grow on those branches. That's the figure that he's presenting there. Verse 5, Jesus would say, I'm the vine and you, to the disciples, verse 5, you are the branches. But there's a third element in the figure that he uses, and that's found in verse 1. Jesus said, I'm the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Now, the vineyard would have to have an expert vine dresser. And, of course, that's God. That's someone who knew how to handle the plants. They were delicate. And yet the vine dresser would have to know exactly the pruning process, how much to take off, which branches needed prune, the right amount that he should take off so that the plant could flourish. And so that's the picture and the figure that Jesus gives you. And it would be the job of the vine dresser to cut the branches completely off, the dead branches, prune those branches that were not developing. Jesus said, I'm the vine. To the disciples, he said, you're the branches. And of course, the caretaker is the Heavenly Father. He's the caretaker of the vineyard. That is what we've got there. That's what he's looking at. That's what he's trying to relate to his disciples on this very evening, the night before his betrayal. I think especially as we look at this, there's all kinds of lessons that we can get out of the Word of God. But I think there's a critical lesson overall in all of this, and that is that he wants his disciples, I think he's stressing very much the importance that we stay connected to him. That as we serve Jesus, that it is vital that we as branches stay connected to the vine. It's vital for our very survival. So for a little while, saying we're just going to discuss that. And I began really looking at that as we are in the overview of thinking about that connection and what that means. I think the first thing that I want us to notice is as there's a goal to be achieved in what Jesus is explaining. And as you look at that, there's something about Jesus that he wants his disciples to do. And it's pretty plain in what we've read when you see it so many times. He wants his disciples to abide in him. To abide in him. And he wants also in that, he wants us to bear fruit. All right? Abide in him, bear fruit. Well, as you look at bearing fruit, you know, grapevines were not planted for their beauty. We plant roses. Wow. Look at my front porch, how pretty that is. When Jeannie comes back all this week, we plant it for the beauty, don't we? The flowers, we do that. But that's not why grapes were planted. That's not why grapevines were planted. Grapevines were planted for a purpose. What was it? To eat grapes. And, of course, to drink the wine that came from those grapes. We recognize that. We wanted the vine, they wanted the vine, to produce grapes. And in that way, that's what Jesus says. That's what he wants from his disciples. All right? My goal for my disciples is for them to bear fruit. In verse 2, Jesus describes the work of the Father as caretaker. All right? And how he cuts the dead branches from the vine that's what? That's not bearing fruit. So as disciples, he wants us to bear fruit. Why? What's that in? You get down to verse 8. Jesus says that by bearing fruit. You see in verse 8, what do we do? What happens when we bear fruit? It brings glory to God. That's his point there. In fact, he goes on to say that's evidence that we are his disciple. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But in fact, verse 16, we didn't read verse 16, but it says that he would say that this is the purpose of being a disciple. It's to bear fruit. That's a point in this figure. But what does that mean? I mean, we talk about it all the time. We need to bear fruit. Let's bear fruit as disciples. And a couple of things about that. I think if you're going to bear fruit, one of the things that we need to do is to clothe ourselves with Christ. In bearing fruit, we need to clothe ourselves with really the character of Jesus Christ. That is, after all, what God wants for us. After pulling us out of the depths of sin, after the life that we've lived in the drudgery of sin, all right, the ugliness and the darkness of sin, he wants us to be a new person. He wants us to have a wise walk. He wants us to walk in the light as we've been studying. We've alluded to that. Ephesians 4, talking about laying aside that person, laying aside the old self. We're renewed in spirit. We're renewed in all kinds of things. Now, what's involved in that is putting on the character of Christ, being like Jesus. We want to be like Him, molded like Him, the image of Jesus Christ, the character of Jesus Christ. And really what God wants for all of us is that we're like His Son, that we become like Jesus, that and that we speak like Him, we behave like Him, we think like Him. We want to be like Jesus Christ. And in doing that, we bear fruit. And I think all of us, as a Christian, that has to be our main objective. What Christians, Christ-like, following Christ, what's my goal every day? I want to be more like the Lord. I want to be more like Jesus. I'm bearing fruit when I do that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me. What? Because he's an imitator of Christ. You like Paul, you'll be like Christ. 1 Corinthians. And also in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he says, have this attitude in yourself, which was in Christ Jesus. In both these passages, we have the same idea. And that idea is that we want to be formed in the image of Jesus. Now, take that a step further. How's that happen? How's my character formed like Jesus Christ? And I think about that. How do I have that image, you know? And I really, you know, I have to tell you, it starts with Bible study. And I know that's a basic comment, and you think about it, and I don't want to be too simplistic about it, but how else am I going to know who Jesus Christ is except I look in His Word? How else am I going to know that? I got to look at it, consider His life, consider who He was, and I need to consider who and what He taught. Now, how am I going to do that unless I open this book and look? Now, I'm going to tell you that I think that seems to be lost in this generation. That obvious point that I just made, I think that's lost in this generation. There are a lot of folks running around today, they're talking about Jesus. They know all about Jesus. They know all about what Jesus did in their life. They'll tell you what Jesus did in their life. They'll tell you about what Jesus wants in their life. They'll tell you about how Jesus saved them. When in fact, Jesus has done absolutely nothing in their life. But they're all ready to tell you about Jesus and how He's worked in His life, their life, what He's done for their life. And they failed to open up God's Word and see what Jesus actually says about His life and how He works in your life and how salvation is given in your life. They've got all these ideas about Jesus. Well, I don't think you get to become the person that Jesus wants you to become by thinking what I want to become, what I think Jesus is. No, that's not going to happen. I become the person that Jesus wants me to become by what's revealed in the Scripture that defines what Jesus is and who Jesus is. That's how I become Christ-like. Well, I need to begin studying the Bible. That's it. I need to open up the book. I need to see what He's like. I need to spend some time meditating about that. Look at the Lord, meditate, think about that, and let those thoughts, when I'm alone, let those thoughts originate in my mind. And when I think about it, I let that start to help me develop the character of Christ. Not because I made up something, what I think He might want, but what I know that He wants from what I can read in His Word. And really, after I do that, then guess what happens to me? I begin to make some application in my life. Real application. Solid application. And what that does, it begins to change me. I start focusing on different things. I start thinking about different things. I start behaving differently. I start speaking differently. I start reacting differently when I'm provoked. All of those things in a different way. And really what happens is I have a more peaceful life. I have a more secure life. I'm more tranquil. I have more joy. Because the way I interact with people now is different. And I see things a lot different. And really, you know what that is? I become more gentle. I become more like Christ. I become more like what was read in Galatians 5. And you know what that is? That's producing fruit. That's what happens. That's how I produce the fruits of the Spirit. It's because I want to look at Jesus' life. I want to be like Him. What's Paul saying there in Galatians 5? When you let the Holy Spirit, through His Word, when you let that happen, that it guides you and directs you and forms the character that is demanded of you, fruit comes out. You begin to produce fruit that people see and that people notice. And I start looking like Paul. And I start looking like Jesus. And may I add, brethren, that that's a process. That doesn't happen tonight. All right? We do that the rest of our lives. What do? The rest of our lives, we keep going back to His Word. We keep digging in. We keep doing that. We keep that process of life. We come to know Jesus better, and we meditate on the qualities that the Word of God presents to us in our life every single day. We change every day. Have to. We've got to grow. You know, I won't be tacky just for a minute, but you know what? I guess we need to get really down where we live in this. In your mind, I want you to imagine the Father, the great caretaker of the vineyard, and He's walking up and down the rows of the grapes right now. He's walking up and down the rows of these branches, and He comes to your branch. You. What's your branch look like? What's your branch look like? Is there any fruit there? What's He see? Can He see life gradually forming more and more into the image of His Son? Can He see that branch doing that as He looks at your branch tonight? And really, here's the application question. That is it. What does my branch look like? That's the application to this text that we're reading. And one way that we bear fruit is that we clothe ourselves in the character of Christ. No doubt about it. Well, here's the second one of that. And of course, we've alluded to it. It's about winning souls. Romans chapter 1, we don't want to miss a time here where we're talking about making more disciples. Romans chapter 1, Paul uses that exact language. Look at verse 13. He talks about how he desires to come to Rome and that he wants to be with the brethren at Rome. And one of the things he said, verse 13, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I have often planned to come to you, and I have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain, here it is, some fruit among you also, even as the rest of the Gentiles. Paul said, I want to come to Rome. He says, I want to bear some fruit there. What does that mean? He says, I want to win some souls there. I preach the gospel there. I want to do good there. I want to bring people to Christ there. I want to bear some fruit there. Matthew 9, Jesus would describe His lost world as a great harvest ripe unto harvest and ready to be brought in. Now think about that. I can't think of a more apt figure. When you think about the world, and when you think, I don't see anyone that would say that's not true. And I look out, brethren, we're surrounded. We are utterly surrounded by people that are lost. The harvest is ripe. It's all around us. We have to recognize that. We have to know that. And when the Lord says what He says in Mark 16 and 15, folks, there are people that are desperate out there that are not hearing the life-saving message that Jesus Christ said and commanded us to go preach and go teach in Mark 16 and 16. So in that sense, we're to bear fruit. We are to bear fruit. So in my mind's eye, I'm imagining the caretaker walking through the vineyard, looking up and down the rows, looking at all the branches. And he comes to my branch. What's he find there? Can he see in my branch? Can he see people in my circle that I've tried to influence for the truth? That those that are in my circle that are lost, can he see in my branch the efforts that I've made to teach them the truth? Can he see that? Back to verse 8. I want to remind you what he says about this. You know, Jesus says that my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and what? Prove to be my disciples. You know what, folks? Anybody can say they're a disciple of Christ. Anybody can say they're a Christian. You know what the proof is? Right there it is. The proof is if you're making disciples, if you're teaching the truth to others, if we're bearing fruit. You know, I look, that's hard. That's a tough statement. That's tough. Anybody can say I'm a disciple of Jesus. The evidence is the fruit. What's my branch look like? What's my branch look like? Well, it gives us a goal to achieve, there's no doubt. It's a noble goal that the Lord gives His disciples this night. But the second thing I want to look at is this figure is that there is also a path to success as we look at this. in this figure the Lord shares with his disciples, what's the key that's going to make this happen? Well, I've said it before. And the key is, as you look at that, you need to abide in me. And really, that's a theme in there. You need to abide in me. And certainly that's true of a literal vine, is it not? A branch. Go to a grapevine, break off the branch. Now, when you break off the branch, you break off one of those branches, you drop it on the dirt. What happens to it? Well, it's just going to lay there. You've broken it off the vine. You've broken it off the source of nourishment. You've done that. And it lays there. Come harvest time, what have you got? You've just got a dead branch that's produced absolutely nothing. That's what you have. And really, it's just scooped up and it's burned in the fire. It's going to be worthless. It has no value. We understand that. The vine is the source of nourishment of life. We understand that. It is the thing buried in my soul from which the nourishment is being drawn. You draw that nourishment from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The true vine, we cannot become disengaged from. Jesus says that if you want to be alive and healthy and you thrive as a Christian, folks, you've got to abide in Him. You've got to abide in Him. And that thought just keeps coming up again and again, John 15. Look at verse 4. We cannot bear fruit, he says, unless we abide in Him. Verse 5, he who abides in me bears much fruit. Verse 6, those who do not abide in Him die and are destroyed. And verse 5, he says, I want you to look at that with me, between verse 5 and verse 7. Look, I love the contrast there. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You see that? Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, and whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. You see it? The path of success for us as Christians is that we abide in Jesus. Well, let's ask the same question that we ask about bearing fruit. How do you do that? What do you do with that? When I think, again, on the most basic level, that abiding in Jesus means that I simply need to maintain a relationship every single day with Him. All the days of my life, I want to maintain that relationship. I need to continue to believe in Jesus. I need to continue to serve Jesus. I need to continue to follow Jesus. I need to stick with my Lord clear to the end. That's the most basic level about abiding in Jesus. And are you going to stick with Jesus? Are you going to abide with Jesus all the way to the end? This place would be jam-packed if we had folks that have quit abiding in Jesus, that have not stuck it out clear to the end. There are folks all around this community that used to be here but are not now because they've chosen not to abide in Him until the end. In fact, I can just be very plain about that. If the end of your life, you've not done anything, you're a loser. No accomplishments, no successes in your life. You know what? If you stuck with Jesus to the end, if you've abided in Christ until the end, if you've remained faithful to the end, do you know, I don't care what you do with your life, do you know that you did the only thing that mattered? Because I'm telling you, that's the only thing that matters. That's it. By contrast, it doesn't matter what accolades that the world heaps on you. When you've drawn your last breath, it doesn't matter all the successes that you've had. It doesn't matter all those remarkable things that are significant in your life. The plaques on the wall, all the material things that you've gathered, all the things that you've accumulated, all the positions that you've enjoyed. If you have all that, and you cannot say that I have abided in Jesus, and that I've been faithful to Jesus all the days of my life, your life's a total failure. That's it. So this issue becomes really the defining moment of our whole existence, really. Did I abide in Him? Did I? How do I make that happen? Well, there's a number of ways. And you know what I'm going to say again? Bible study. That's right. Really, that's half of the communication that we have with Jesus Christ, with God. And that's Bible study. I want to maintain that. He says in verse 7, if you abide in me, and then he adds this, and my words abide in you. If I'm going to thrive, if I'm going to be nourished by the vine, what it means is that I'm going to let Jesus Christ speak to me through his word. That's where I'm going to get my nourishment. Folks, you're not going to have a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ without being a good Bible student. I'm sorry. And as great as I am, it's not going to end. You got to open up the book yourself with your time at your place and study and rightly divide the truth on your own. That's where it begins and ends, with you. You can come here every time we meet and you're not going to get enough. You're not going to get enough. That's the point. It's through my study of the Word of God that I understand what it means, what my Savior means to me. Well, I don't know what God wants from me. I don't know what His expectation is of me. I don't know what His will is. Until what? Until I'm nourished by the Word of God. Not me, not the elders. Yeah, that's part of it. But that's not where your total nourishment is going to come from. That's the point. You know, he mentions that in verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I mentioned prayer here because he does. It's the other half, the communication of lifeline. It's what makes your relationship with God complete. You know, I don't know if you noticed or not, but I've been saying some things out of Psalms a lot. Prayers of David and different things, requests that are made. And really and truly, that's the opposite end of how God begins to lead us and how He helps us abide in His Son, not only through the study of His Word, but the communication that we have. So what do we say? Bible study and prayer. That's what we're saying. That's what's essential for us to thrive on the vine. Bible study and prayer. We need to do a whole lot of that to stay connected to the vine. I add something else. I think abiding in Him also has a negative side. You know, if all of these positive things are what it takes for us to abide, you know what? Shouldn't we address the negative things that threaten to pull us and break us off of the vine? Sure we should. If staying connected with Jesus means is really the defining issue of our life, then I think all of us need to address the negative things that are in our life. Hebrews chapter 12. I need to deal with that. My mind goes to Hebrew a lot for a lot of reasons. I want to read verse 1. The writer says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Now, I know we shift gears a little bit here. We're talking about a runner. We're talking about a race, that figure of running a race. All right. But you know what? In that race, you don't want anything to trip you up. Do you? You don't want anything that makes you fall in that race. You don't want anything that's going to hold you back in any race, especially the race to heaven. All right? Now let's switch over. Let's come back to the figure in John 15. You don't want anything as a branch. You don't want anything tugging on you, do you? You don't want anything breaking you, do you? Trying to pull you away from the vine. So it is in our life. We need to examine our life. We need to recognize in each of our lives the things that are negative in our life, that are trying to break us off of the vine. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. We all have to be honest about that. We all have that sin that entangles us. Mine's not what yours is. It may be. We may have that in common. But what I know that we have in common is doing the battle of the sin that's going to break me off of the vine. I don't want that to happen. And it's not going to happen if I ignore it, if I don't address it in my life. I have to be realistic. I have to be honest about the thing that's trying to get me to lose my soul. All of us do. We need to address that. Who do we have in our lives that's threatening that? What do I have in my life that's threatening the very life source that I have, that's wanting to break me from that vine? I need to figure out what that is. And that brings me to the third point. And really, it's in the figure here, it's the danger to avoid. He's warning in the text that, guess what? The branch could be thrown away. The branch that we're talking about, John 15, he says, the caretaker, in verse 2, he says that the vine dresser, the caretaker, he basically has two jobs. And really, as you look earlier there, he's talking about the vine dresser. Every branch, let me read, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. So there's his twofold job. One of the jobs is to prune a branch that is producing, that is producing fruit. Why do you want to do that? If you're doing good, if you're producing, why don't you just leave me alone? All right? That's the thought that comes. Now, sometimes, though, the vine dresser knows what he's doing, doesn't he? He certainly does. He knows what he is doing. And so he might prune you a little bit, and what happens is you're going to grow ever more. You're going to grow ever stronger. And if he prunes you right, you're going to produce more fruit. There's no doubt about that. And you know what? You know what? I think all of us can use a little tweak here and there, don't you? A little pruning here and there. Even though we're producing, even though we're living that Christian life. And you know what? There's a whole lesson about that. About I think about the parable of the sower. I think about the third soil. Maybe more to come on this. Where the weeds are growing up and they're choking back. And you know what? Maybe we just need somebody to come up and pull some weeds every once in a while and get us to be a little bit more productive in the kingdom. Certainly all of us can use that. Always. A little tweak, a little there. Remove some things off of our life, out of our life, that we might not have thought about, that we need to think about. All right? But the caretaker has another job, and that's described in verse 2. The branches, we are told, are taken away and burned. Those that are dead. Those that are not producing. Those that have given up. Those that have quit. Those that have died. It's fascinating when I read this, the Calvinist commentators, and of course our denominational friends, teach the false teaching, and some of the commentaries that I have, the scholars that I read, it's amazing what they try to do to keep from saying that this branch is you, the vine is Christ. And what are we talking about here? We're talking about losing your soul. That's what Jesus is saying here. And there's a horror there that happens. You can lose your soul. It's a false doctrine to say that once you're saved, you're always saved. But I'll tell you what, folks, there's a lot of people that have bought that. We can be lost. Salvation. Salvation can be lost. We can die on the vine if we're not producing. You know, it can be lost. Now think about that. You know, that terrible possibility, that ought to strike terror in all of our hearts. That we can be lost. And it should have to instill in us, I think, a powerful desire to abide in Jesus all the days of my life and to serve Him all the days of my life. Because in just this description, that scares me. That scares me what the Lord says. But I need Him to prune me. I need Him to work on me. I need Him every day. I recognize that. That's why I need to get rid of some of the things I think is pulling me down. That's making my branch begin to wither and to fade away. Jesus says, I can become unfruitful. I can die spiritually. And it has catastrophic consequences, no doubt. I want to close verse 11. What he says there, the last verse that we read. He says, I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Discussing all the consequences and all the things in a negative, frightening way, in a terrible way, Jesus ends what he says on a positive note. And the reason he says, I'm saying this to you, because what? I want you to have joy. I want you to have joy. I want you to be filled with joy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what, the Lord wants us to live that way. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to have that. And we can have that if we abide in Him. If we abide in Him. And I tell you, if you're looking for a life of joy, a life that has meaning, a life that has purpose, and you've tried everything, you've tried it all, but you're not connected to the vine, you're wasting your time. That's his point. A full, rich, meaningful life here and, of course, for eternity can only be found to those that are abiding in him. That's his story. That's the point of this, I think. Well, great caretaker of our vineyard. He's walking up and down the rows. The vine dresser's looking. He sees the vine. He sees your branch. He knows. He's looking for fruit. That's his purpose. In your heart tonight, what kind of branch does he see? What does he see? Is it alive? Is your branch healthy? Is it living? Is it taking nourishment from the vine when he looks at your branch? Is there a lot of fruit there? I think, if we're honest, I think all of us would probably say, you know, mine looks a little sick. There's some grapes on there, but I don't know if I'd eat them. You know? And maybe if we're real honest, maybe we're just laying there dead, right beside the vine, waiting to be cast into the fire and burnt. Examine your hearts tonight, brethren and friends. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." That's the gospel. You do that, I promise you, you'll never be burned. You abide in Him forever, live a faithful life. Heaven is your reward. That's the truth of God. If your branch is dead, friends, your soul's in danger. If you're subject to the invitation, please come as together we stand and sing.